Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're getting you ready for pro football's ultimate matchup.
Give us a taste.
Mac has a noodle arm.
Ooh, buddy.
This is a Super Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
I got hit in the head with the tortilla.
Yikes!
The Fan.
Hour number 2, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday afternoon. Boy, it is Super Bowl week, and we just spent an hour talking Luka Doncic getting traded. This is like, it really is a ground-shattering move in the NBA.
Yeah.
It is probably the biggest trade ever in the National Basketball Association.
Legitimately is, because you're talking about a 25-year-old in his prime that had not asked out, had given no inkling that he wasn't going to sign his extension. And for his troubles, and a reason why Luka Doncic is going to be super pissed, is he lost $120 million guaranteed by this transaction.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think the number is like officially around $117 million mm-hmm. because he can recoup some of it. He was eligible for the Supermax, and the Supermax would have had him at about $345 million. He's now only eligible for the veteran extension, which is $228 million. Oh, by the way, that would be $345 million in a tax-free state of Texas and $228 million in California, the highest jock tax in the country.
Yeah, not only that, one of the higher income tax brackets,
now,
too.
Do you think you see maybe Luka goes the way, and this was part of one of the reasons why the Mavericks said that they were unsure about him signing an extension, just bought a massive home in Dallas.
It did not seem
like that was the case. But do you see maybe the Lakers do what the Cavs did with Donovan Mitchell, which is say, all right, you can't get the Supermax, but the way that he's going to recoup that is he signed a short deal.
Mm-hmm. Signed the extension, then hit unrestricted free agency.
And then that is a roll of the dice, and that's a gamble.
But it's also the Lakers.
Yeah, you're also the Lakers.
Who's leaving the Lakers in their prime?
And so you could have a situation where he signs a three-year deal worth $165 million. And then when he is 28 years old.
Think about that, though. Three-year deal for $165
yeah.
as opposed to five for $345.
Yeah, but then he could sign after that a five-year $418 million deal.
When this is all said and done, this is going to cost him anywhere between $80 and $100 million.
It's
like you're going to recoup some of it, but you would have also gotten that next deal on a higher level sooner.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to cost him a lot of money. And honestly, I wonder if he'll ever forgive the Mavericks just for that.
Yeah, that would be a tough one.
Because
he definitely won't.
There has been zero indication about him not signing that Superman. Now, he could have done what a lot of stars have done recently, including Dame, which is sign that contract, then ask out.
Deuces. Yeah. All right. I want to get to what Nico Harrison said, though. The easy way would have been for him not to do anything. And this is one move, and it sure is doing something. He was very active last year, got Daniel Gafford, got PJ Washington. They got to the NBA Finals last year. And what he is alluding to is that with the way that their team was built, he felt that right now Anthony Davis would be a guy that could get the Mavericks over the hump in the next 3 years to win an NBA title more so than Luka Doncic. You've said of all of the concerns, look, is his Achilles a ticking time bomb with the calf strains that have limited and still have him out actually right now? Even is it the fact that there's now rumors and leaks of him having a drinking problem and a partying problem? His weight is obviously an issue, and it has been. His preparation in the offseason and coming into camp out of shape every single
year. Like, he had a wrist issue this year. They shut him down so they could get him in shape. That's 100% what that was about.
All of those things just became enough is enough.
Mm-hmm. And now, again, I don't care.
He's really, really talented.
Despite that, he still gave the Celtics that work.
Okay, but, I mean, did he really, though? That was...
Look, he did.
Okay. The NBA Finals... Do we remember what the mm-hmm. NBA Finals were last year? Because they got their butts kicked.
And he did quit in the game. But he's also...
And he got ejected because he couldn't hold it together.
Yeah. No. But don't... Like, that's what I'm saying. The talent is still otherworldly. This is a guy that damn near averaged a triple-double and led the playoffs in points, rebounds, assists. Points, rebounds, assists, and I think steals.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Like,
They got worked.
That's the talent you put up with that crap for.
Yeah. Well...
It is.
Do you think you're ever going to get over the hump, though? I mean, but that's the thing, is that maybe they're just looking at it and saying, no, it's not. It's not worth it because...
I can tell you right now, it's in the city of Dallas, it was worth it.
They got beat 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
4-1. And they won game four of that. And then unceremoniously got dump trucked in the final game. It would be nice to say, but... He and Nico Harrison in the Dallas Mavericks, I love that Nico Harrison also said that the owner laughed at him initially when he, because it's not Mark Cuban, by the way. We all aware of that.
Yes.
The actual governor
right now is Patrick Dumont.
Patrick Dumont, and there's now a conspiracy theory that this is all to rip it all down, move the team to Vegas. Mm-hmm. That's not
because the Adelsons are there. The Adelsons, you remember Sheldon Adelson, casino magnate. Yeah. That's who actually owns the team.
So that's not going to happen because there's going to be an expansion team to Vegas anyways. Mm-hmm. That I don't think the NBA, Adam Silver is not in the business of ripping teams away from cities anymore. But sitting back, and he said the easy way would be to do nothing. The hard way is to go out and make some of these decisions that are really tough. This one is pretty dumb. But at the same time, we were sitting here in Portland wishing, hoping that our front office would make a move and make a really hard decision that was a gamble in order to get Damian Lillard help. And they never did. Mm-hmm. I think there is an element of this that I'm sitting there, I'm going... If not being a Mavericks fan, I can appreciate what Nico Harrison is doing in saying, I don't believe in Luka Doncic anymore. And that's a bold claim to make.
Well, not only that.
But sitting there and doing it and saying, no, we're going to swing. And we may whiff and we may get laughed at. They are getting laughed at, by the way, by me and everybody else, because they did not get nearly the return that they should have.
Kirk Henderson is the editor at Mavs Moneyball. He's a friend of mine. He has a piece up on their website right now. I want to read this to give you the insight of somebody who has grown up in Dallas through and through, and has been through multiple iterations of this team and what they wrote. And I'm just a little bit of this. When you ended that awkward press conference, again, this is a letter to Nico Harrison. You said that the future to me is 3 to 4 years from now. The future 10 years from now, they'll probably bury me and him. He's not much of a kid by then. Or we'll bury yourselves. You're buried right now. Good luck digging out if this trade doesn't work immediately. The mask is off now with other players around the NBA as well. The organization told you as a player-friendly general manager due to your time at Nike. The fan base was told that this would help Dallas when securing free agents and making trades. I think given the roster building to date, there's something to that, but that run might be over. The run might be over because your relationship... Keep in mind, Luka Doncic is not an Adidas guy. He's not a Under Armour guy. He is a Jordan brand athlete.
Yep.
And he... packed him up and shipped him to L.A. out from under his nose. And now some people are like, oh, boo-hoo, they shipped him to L.A. He just bought $15 million in a house. That's where he's, like, building up, right? And as much as, you know, the idea of, oh, again, boo-hoo, he went to L.A., this wasn't what he asked for.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't player friendly. This, I'm telling you right now, talking to players after that game, after the Blazers-Suns game, players are terrified. Legitimately. They were like, if he can get traded, who's legitimately untouchable? And it's really only one. It's Wemby. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, technically, it's three because Braun and Beal have no trade clauses.
Yeah.
But outside of that...
Bradley Beal being the guy.
Just, again.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe the greatest of all time, a guy who could be the greatest of all time, and Brad Beal.
Yikes.
But I wanted to read that just to give you some perspective like of where Mavs fans are right now.
They should be pissed. Are you kidding
me? It's not just pissed, though. It's like... It's the idea that not just the damage of like ripping or trading away Luka did, but like what that may have done to you and the organization, all the goodwill that you built up, you might have just thrown down the drain. You may have made a transaction that you think was the right transaction to make, but at the time you made it, how you made it, and how little you got back.
How little you got back is the big one.
Yeah, but it's all of it because I'm telling you right now, I have talked to half a dozen GMs in the last 48 hours, every single one of them, it's not a level of jealousy. It's a, why the hell did they do this right now? Like, why would you do this today?
Well, I have an idea. I have a thought on that.
Mm.
And let's get to that because the timing may be perfect for this, for the NBA. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. 503-864-6326. That's a Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at VancouverFord.com. You know, you mentioned this about this trade of why now? And I think this might almost be the perfect time for a lopsided trade like the Luka Doncic, a star being moved in his prime more so than the lopsided one, than ever before in the NBA. Because what has always been the big wide criticism of the NBA? Players have too much power, right? Players are the ones that can call their shots and they get anything they want whenever they want. And it is a player league, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said that Suns and Blazers players were scared after the game because if it can happen to Luka, it can happen to anybody out there.
I got text messages over the weekend from guys across the league going, what the hell?
Wouldn't this be, though, like the NBA in a power shifting move of, hey, not that this was some sort of league mandate from Adam Silver, but being good for the league in that, hey, you guys aren't the ones that should be comfortable here in the ones that you guys can call all the shots. Because I think from a fan perspective, that is something that alienates a lot of the casual fans of the NBA is that it's a player-driven league and they get to call the shots and, you know, what's the point? Now it's kind of like the league is taken back a little bit and saying, Thursday's our trade deadline, and by the way, it could be open season for everybody. And look, it did jumpstart a lot of moves in a time where you said this, that you've kind of, I don't want to say reporting on it because it's more of what, because you haven't like written a report out, but from the people that you've talked to around the league, the CBA was like, no, big moves aren't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen one, two, three in a row.
And I mentioned on Friday that talking to folks going into the weekend, that there is this idea that general managers want to be active, but nobody wants to pay any prices.
Here's how you're doing it.
But I mean, you look at these deals. Look, AD is a Hall of Famer, but he's galaxies away from Luka Doncic.
Yep.
Galaxies away from him as a player. Like just they're a top five player versus a top 15 player is, you can't even begin to describe the chasm.
No doubt about it.
And then we haven't even talked about the De'Aaron Fox trade.
But that's the one, like, I'm saying. It started everything else where the Spurs get De'Aaron Fox. You mentioned this yesterday last week when he requested a trade. Not a really well-kept secret. He wants to go to the Spurs. Yeah. That's where he ends up, along with Jordan McLaughlin. The Kings get Zach LaVine from Chicago, which they've been trying to unload him
for 18 months.
Ever.
They were trying to trade him away with a first-round pick this summer.
The Kings got a 2025 first-round pick, a 2027 first-round pick, a 2031 first-round pick, and 3 second-round picks.
And the interesting thing is there, number one, that 2025 first-round pick is not a first-round pick. It is the Charlotte Hornets' top 14 protected pick that will turn into a 2026 and 2028 second round pick. The other first round pick they got back was a 2027 San Antonio Spurs first, which, by the way, you just gave De'Aaron Fox to Victor Wembanyama in the San Antonio Spurs. Do you think they're going to be bad in 2 years?
No.
Okay, so that pick's damn near worthless.
Still better than what Dallas got.
You're not wrong, but the one tangible asset they got here that had positive value is a 2031 Minnesota Timberwolves unprotected first round pick.
That is
the one thing that they got out of this, because Zach LaVine, they could not give away. The Chicago Bulls could not give him away. The Spurs gave away one thing of consequence. A 2031 Minnesota Timberwolves pick. They didn't give away Steph Castle. They didn't give away Devin Vassell. They didn't give away Jeremy Sochan. They didn't give away anything.
That's great.
They got
because guess what? Spurs, really well-run organization.
Well, I mean, like, and then you look at the Chicago Bulls. My God, they paid to get their own pick back.
Well, whatever. They got Zach Collins,
who was the worst bunny on the San Antonio Spurs roster.
Wait. I thought Zach Collins was turning a corner. I was told that for a year.
Yeah.
Zach Collins. That was a bad move by the Blazers.
It's really why Charles Bassey's been playing a lot.
Well, and don't forget, Ronald Threasley's in that too.
Oh God. Look, Kevin Herter, poor guy,
is going to the Bulls. And look, that red hair ain't going to look good with the red jerseys.
No, it's going to be tough.
That's a tough look.
So here's what the Bulls have traded away Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Alex Caruso for. The poo-poo platter of Trey Jones, Kevin Herter, and there's one other player from the Spurs. God, I can't remember what it was. But it doesn't matter. Their own pick back, a second-round pick that they had to send back to the Kings, and then Josh Giddey.
Move.
That's what they turned that team into.
That's gross.
That's what they've gotten back. It is one of the biggest mismanagements of assets in the modern NBA.
Like, nobody wanted Josh Giddey. Everybody's like, no.
You couldn't extract a single first-round pick from the Oklahoma City Thunder for a player they wanted.
Okay.
It's unreal.
But we had that move come right after all of a sudden Luka gets moved in, boom. We started greasing the skids here. And now we have a deadline. Thursday is the deadline. I think this is where a lot of Blazer fans should be excited, though, because that idea that there was going to be no movement, no, there's movement. It's happening. And can you get in on some of the action and some of the desperation? Because, look, when teams start seeing the other moves around the NBA, that's when they start getting a little antsy. And teams are posturing and getting in position to be effective and to be contenders. And is there anybody that's going to be that Portland can get involved with and start sweetening some deals? Because you're not going to get a whole heck of a lot for what's on the roster right now.
No, but, and the thing that you're hoping right now is the Lakers need a pick. Do they come calling about DA or Robert Williams? You know, the Sacramento Kings have checked in on Jeremy Grant in the past. And I know before that the Fox stuff went up, they almost had a deal done for John Collins. That was basically the Herter, Lyles, and a first for John Collins to make that deal work. There was,
didn't this kind of indicate though, the Kings are selling, not buying?
I think that they're trying to stay relevant. That's why they took LaVine.
Yikes.
Look, I'm not saying it's the right choice. I think that's the path that they're going down.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Like, it's certainly an interesting space right now. Again, I've been saying for a while now, I don't think the Blazers are going to get much done because of where things are at. Now,
And that seems like a miss, though. That seems like a miss when it is turning into an active deadline.
It is, but it isn't. It's active. AD and Luka is not an active deadline. That's completely and wholly different. The only player that is moving here that makes sense is LaVine. Like, as far as like what you would want guard for guard, because what the Kings were asking for from the Spurs was a guard.
Like, no matter what, the Blazers would be having to take back it would be money, 100%. And it would be a distressed asset is what they would be getting back.
If you're talking
Ayton? No, if you're talking about dealing Ayton, Anfernee Simons, Jeremy Grant, like I think even Robert Williams, like you're getting because money.
Oh, you had to take back some form of money.
Yeah, and so it would be a distressed asset. There should be no clouds of grandeur here that the Blazers would be getting some home run sweetheart of a deal. You want to get assets, and we talked about this last week.
Yeah, the price of what the asset would
a
be.
A good young player, and do you want to throw a first in? Sure. Heavily protected even, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that would make sense for Portland.
Yeah, no, like the thing for me is I don't think it's much a distressed asset as much as moving the deck chairs around with contracts, which is something this front organization has prioritized, is actually having contracts. Now, whether or not it's the
right
idea.
What are they doing with them, though?
Having them so that you can use them in a potential trade when that comes up.
Like the deadline is Thursday.
Sure, but you've got to have somebody who wants to be a buyer.
And so you just sit on, and that, again, goes back to the Nico Harrison mm-hmm. thing of the easy way is to do nothing.
No, the easy way is to sell out on your assets for pennies on the dollar, because that's exactly what the Mavericks did.
Sure.
Any bleepity bleep can trade Luka Doncic for nothing, because that's what he did.
Okay, and then you flip it and you go, all right, let's not look at it from the Nico Harrison aspect of it. Let's look at it from the Rob Pelinka aspect of this. Mm-hmm. Let's look at it from the aspect of the San Antonio Spurs, which said, that guy wants to come here? All right, let's start unpacking and let's move some stuff of consequence. Mm-hmm. And look,
you gotta have somebody who wants to come here.
Yeah, but also the Blazers have been telling us that we have these contracts, mm-hmm. and this is not just a Joe Cronin thing. This was happening with Neil too, right? This is organizationally. They've told us they've got assets and contracts that people want. No, mm-hmm. they don't, because if they wanted them, then they would be moved. No. And what has ended up happening is that the pennies on the dollar thing, it does happen more often than not. Well, and that's where you go, okay, if working at front office and being a general manager or president of basketball operations or in a front office it's a relationship business.
Sure.
And those relationships, it screwed Nico Harrison, his relationship with Rob Pelinka. But if you're a Laker fan, you're like, yeah, that worked out pretty mm-hmm. well for us.
Again.
Right? Again. But that's where you go, this is how these deals are done. And we do deadline after deadline, whether it is the in-season deadline or it is the off-season when guys are getting moved, we don't see anything. We see a lack of movement.
I'd push back on that pretty significantly.
Okay.
Damian Lillard was traded.
Yes, he was. When he asked to be out.
CJ McCollum was traded.
And that was the first of let's unscrew this mm-hmm. thing. And did they get back a whole heck of a lot?
No.
They didn't.
Danny Avdia, a guy that they targeted, they went and got.
That was a very good move.
Okay. You can disagree with what they place on value for a particular player, but they do have, like, I know this for a fact, that teams have called on players that they have.
Mm-hmm.
100% factual, there's no doubt about that. They have not met their requisite asking price. And I will tell you flat out, like Robert Williams III, they are not giving him away.
And how often do we hear about these deals that are made, though, where it's like, yeah, they came to us, it wasn't good enough. And this is like the Danny Ainge thing, mm-hmm. right? He says, well, then I reached out to boom, 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 and we ended up fleecing the other team because I used my other connections, mm-hmm. right? And like, look, this is easier said than done, right? But when we go through this time and time again here, like sure. it gets frustrating.
No, I get it. I have yet to have the retrospective come back of Jimmy Butler was available, Paul George was available, you know, like those kind of things.
Yeah.
Like, and that they turned them away. Now, I know some offers that came in for Shaden Sharp and the number 7 overall pick back at that draft.
Me.
Yeah. I know offers that came in for the number 3 pick that was Scoot. And I think they chose the right path.
Yeah.
In selecting Shaden and selecting Scoot. Knowing what I know, like, now. But, you know, again, there's no, like, There hasn't been an offer where I was like, oh, they were dumb to not take that. So not knowing every single offer that's ever been made, but knowing the previous general manager and the offers that he did pass up in real time, I called that spade a spade immediately.
Yeah.
And look, if they get to this deadline, it comes to find out that there was a deal that made sense on the table and they said no because of some intrinsic thing about keeping this together, then kill them for that.
And that's the thing, though, is that when we hear all of these and we hear of things that have been passed up, like, we only hear of the legwork that was done to seal a deal after it has actually happened. And when the deals don't happen, all we hear is, well, it just wasn't a good enough offer, right? And that's where I go to, man, would it be nice for Portland to be on the good end of one of these things. And that takes, it's not just a team saying, this is what we're going to offer you. It's, okay.
Unless you're the Lakers, then it does.
This is what we're going to offer you. And then you say, let's make this work. Let's make this better. Mm-hmm. How does this go ahead? We'll help you, but you got to help us a little bit more. And that takes both sides of that conversation, going out and finding the pieces that do make it work.
Yeah.
It's hard. And I'm not trying to say it's easy because it's not, but we never see it. And it's always, well, it just wasn't good enough.
I think the example where
at that point you just get stuck in the cycle of being stuck.
Well,
and this is where the Blazers are.
Again,
they're stuck in the middle.
It wasn't good enough for 89 days, and then they got a better offer from Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
So
that still didn't make a ton of people happy about it.
It didn't matter if it made them happy. You got a better deal.
Got a better deal. Well, than Miami.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, and maybe that's informed them and reinforced them to be more stubborn in their position. And you could argue that maybe they shouldn't be. But I think in so far in what they've done, both in acquiring Denny Avdia and trading Damian Lillard, because, and I think I've reported this before, they went after Denny at the trade deadline a year ago.
Yeah.
But it just didn't make sense for them
because
they didn't know where that pick was going to end up, how it was going to, because remember the Warriors were a complete disaster piece. And you were like, that pick might end up being really good. Like that might be the, I think it was top four protected. You're like, that might end up being the fifth or the sixth pick in the draft.
And
even in a down draft, like that's a little bit more ammo to deal with. And so they waited.
I'll tell you, the Nurk deal may be the one that has worked out best for the Blazers right now.
Yeah. They took on DeAndre Ayton, and you can say what you want about DA and his contract. Nurk's the fourth center on the team right now for the Suns and not even playing.
He has been benched.
So
you got a DNP coming home.
This isn't me defending the front office. It's not. Like where this stuff is all at right now.
Well, and this is where the conversations happen of like, look, you're not defending the front office. We're having a conversation of it would sure as hell be nice for something to happen.
Look, I want them to make
and
moves.
Putting context into it.
Yeah.
But there is an element of, you know, as a fan base, you look over and you're like, man, it'd be nice to be them over there. And then you look around, you're like, damn, there's a lot of teams, and it's never us.
Look, the Blazers made offers to get OG Anunoby when Dame was here.
And then look at Toronto now.
Yeah, but guess what Toronto did? No, that offer's not good enough.
Yep.
And we want more. They got greedy, and then they had to sell OG for nothing. They did the same thing with Pascal Siakam, had to sell him for nothing. And I don't think the Blazers are being greedy with what they're asking for the players they're entertaining offers for. If you could say that they maybe want more than other teams think, but I think every player or every team thinks that about their own players.
Yeah, look, Portland is in such a rough spot with that because of how egregiously Neil O'Shea overvalued the assets that he had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he overvalued them
to an unreasonable extent.
In that, look, that is something that the Blazer fan base, myself included, you have to break yourself out of because of the fact that it's like, yeah, you want deals to be done, but look, we're still kind of coming out of an abusive relationship with the last president of basketball operations. And this is going to be an interesting next few days because I don't expect the Blazers to make any deals because that's just kind of the way that everything's been signaling. But if things start ramping up around the NBA, this is where you've got to really start hopping on in trying to grease the skids with some other deals and be on the periphery of them. Then that doesn't mean to send out veteran players, but see what assets you can acquire, because that's what the Blazers kind of are in right now, is they are in a rebuild. They are, despite winning 7 of 8, which we need to get to at some point.
Oh, well, this next, 3 days is going to be very interesting. In fact, as a quick reminder, Thursday afternoon, we will be coming on air as the trade deadline expires. So
that's what I'm talking about.
Despite it being Super Bowl week, we will come on Thursday and dive into the trade deadline very quickly. But coming up next, we have our worst day on the web. Be careful and don't throw away your 1,400 baggies of heroin in front of the cop. But first, it's the Big Kahuna, the Sports Center Update.
It's a Super Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
Slight little pivot here on the worst day on the web because there's some mildly breaking news as it pertains to that gambling ring that caught up Jontay Porter and got him thrown in jail for a couple of years for fixing.
Is that done already?
Yeah, he's going to. I think it was.
No, they've already wrapped it all up.
Well, his part of it, I believe, his sentencing was.
Hot damn.
Was 2 years.
Good for
if
him.
I remember right. Yeah, he was cooked. There was no.
I bet it was worth. Nope.
Nope. Nope. No way around that.
Not worth it.
But that gambling ring is also the same one that is tied to the current federal probe into Terry Rozier, as well as it has now been uncovered through sources told to ESPN this morning that those same sportsbook accounts of that gambling ring have also bet against North Carolina A&T, Mississippi Valley State, and Eastern Michigan that have all raised flags.
Look, you should not. I believe this. You shouldn't be able to bet on that. Those type of games.
No.
That level
major
of college.
Major college basketball, like top 50 and above.
Get it? It's Division One.
There's a sliding scale between the top 50 and the top 300.
There's over 300 Division One basketball teams. And not all of them are funded like the Power Four. I think that once you, and this is where you go.
God, it's 352 now.
352? That's what we're at?
That's too many.
Yeah, it is.
Good Lord.
Only 68 of them go to the big dance.
Yeah, it'll be 80.
Yep, it's going up pretty quickly. But this, I don't think you should be able to bet on those. It's like, all right, let's throw some action on some D3 basketball, huh? Mm. Let's throw some action on Linfield and Lewis and Clark. Nobody, you shouldn't be able to bet on that because those are the people that can be influenced, right?
Now you can slide $10,000 some kid's way at North Carolina A&T and have some real influence.
Look, I'm here to tell you, when it comes to the broke college kid pocketbook, there ain't much of a difference between North Carolina A&T and Linfield or Lewis and Clark.
But there is between that and Duke.
But it's Division One. Yes, it's Division One basketball, so we have lines on it. We shouldn't.
No.
We shouldn't do that.
No.
No. I love Maction more than anything. You said Eastern Michigan is involved in this. But Maction shouldn't be able to bet on it. I've watched
especially
it on
Maction basketball.
On a Tuesday and Wednesday night football, you probably shouldn't either. Having witnessed it.
Hey, look, it's a little spicier, but it's also harder to influence.
So
like,
how many
basketball is like the easiest sport to influence.
No doubt about it.
But like
no doubt you left one short. Yep.
Dang. Darn.
Oh, turnover. Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, so here's what we got. Betting integrity monitors have flagged two games involving Eastern Michigan, December 21st against Wright State and January 16th for Central Michigan. In both instances, sportsbooks noticed suspicious betting activity against Eastern Michigan in the first half, which, again, first half unders are something you can easily manipulate by brickety brick, 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 brick. It's not hard to do. You can control that flow pretty well. Veteran bookmakers and professional bettors have been tracking unusual betting activity on college basketball games dating to last season, gambling industry sources told ESPN. Also flagged by sportsbooks and offshore services to suspicious betting on the first half of a January 9th game involving North Carolina A&T and Delaware.
Is this suspicious betting being that people were betting?
Probably, because I would imagine there's not many bets that come in on these games.
Fair enough.
The point spread on the first half moved from Delaware -2 to -3.5. The point spread on the full game closed at -4.5.
really locked into this first half.
Yeah. First half lines typically are equal to around 50% of the full game point spread.
Yikes.
So it doubled.
Wow.
Which the amount of money necessary to do that is pretty seismic.
Yeah. And there's five, I'm reading in this article that there's five guys that are connected to the Jontay Porter. This seems like it's the more that they're going to peel this thing back, the further and further.
Oh, they're going to find so much. This is like when the NFL investigated Dan Snyder and they found Ron Gruden's emails.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, well.
Oh, boy.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if they find out, and look, again, this is not to say that Terry Rozier is guilty, but if he is guilty, Adam Silver's out of a job.
Well, did you see that they cleared Terry Rozier?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. The NBA has investigated and cleared Rozier.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, the NBA already cleared him. Did the federal probe clear him?
Oh, I don't know.
But that's my.
But
that's
the NBA is saying that they've concluded their investigation of him. I mean that in right. If you to your point. If the NBA investigated him, cleared him, said you're good, and the feds are like, what are you guys talking about?
It's like, we've got him dead to rights.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, Adam Silver's gone.
Yeah.
Because that's federal, and that's, boop. If they were complicit in hiding or covering something up or just through malfeasance,
whoops,
didn't uncover it, and the government did, you're cooked.
Would not be good.
Cooked at that point in time. But yeah, I've talked to a lot of people in front offices across sports, and they're all like, one of their biggest fears is like one of their players being wrapped up in this. Not just this exact instance, but like there is a real push among front offices to just take these stupid apps off your phone. If you're going to do it, have your buddy do it. Like, yeah. Do not, you cannot do this.
I feel like all of these guys who are in this gambling ring, they all have pretty fun names to say.
Oh, there are some great names in there.
Amar Aade.
Mm.
Long Fee Fam.
Long Fee Fan's a great name.
That's a great name. Timothy McCormick. That guy goes by Timmy McCormick. Like, Timmy McCormick seems like the guy in your neighborhood that was always getting into trouble. Muhammad Mala. That's a cool name. Just easy to say, fun to say. Shane Hennin. That one's kind of the last one. I can see why they put him at the end.
Because this is the least fun.
Yeah. Amar Aade and Long Fee Fam. And Timmy McCormick, those are solid troublemaker names.
No, 100%. You put him in the lineup, you're like, yep, that tracks.
It's like stepbrothers. Yeah, Timmy McCormick, I smoked weed with him in high school. Johnny Hopkins smoked weed with him in high school.
It's not a bad little spot to be. So, there you go.
Well, North Carolina A&T. Isn't that where J.R. Smith golfs?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, well, turns out their hoops gambling ring. I'm connecting dots here.
Hmm.
Huh? All right.
Bring a little something back to the team.
Yeah. And then also, by the way, we just got on the text line. There is a Major League Baseball umpire, too, that has been fired for, now this is rich, Pat Hoberg. He's been fired for sharing betting accounts with a friend. Only the friend bet.
Yeah. Though. Yeah. No.
But.
He didn't bet on baseball.
He also deleted a bunch of messages that were central to Major League Baseball's investigation. So,
just so you know, you guys, if you delete text messages and those kind of things, they're still on your phone.
Yeah, you still find them.
It's really not hard for them to pull it.
That's why, you know, Tom Brady unfortunately broke his phone when the NFL was trying to get the Deflategate text. Yeah. Like, that's just what he did. He just, because he didn't want people to see his and Giselle's private messaging. Come on.
Yeah, because that was the only thing that was on there.
Oh. I bet.
Yeah. There was nothing John Gruden-esque in there at all.
Mm-mm, probably
nothing,
not.
Nothing would get him in trouble.
Mm-mm.
Nah.
That's the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, sir. Okay?
Yeah, John
so
Gruden.
So you're on.
Fired from the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. You and I are both on this cover-up now because you don't want your team brought into this.
Ah, like it's a, what? Like it's just
it's going to bring the Raiders down?
Clearly it's your first time. Been down this road before. Where do you want to go next? Because we're going to pivot back to even more basketball. You want to talk a little Senior Bowl?
No, there's a big trade request in the NFL. We should talk about that.
You want to talk about that? Yeah, I wanted to give that one a little bit of air, but let's do that here. There is a massive trade request in the NFL, and honestly, could you not right now? We're busy, Miles. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. It's time to enter the daily for the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Entering is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, listen 1080 The Fan or any participating station. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. That's right. You're already listening. Why not just listen on the app and get an entry for yourself every day to win an insane prize that includes the winner of the national contest receiving travel and accommodations for four. That's the winner and three guests to Las Vegas, plus $20,000 in spending money. That's $5,000 for each of you, or $19,995 for you and $4 split among the rest of everybody else. To fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championship. Come back each day and listen for another hour to add another chance to win. Keep listening for more info or go to 1080thefan.com. As we mentioned before, despite the biggest trade maybe in modern sports history happening, the NFL said, whoa, 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 it's our week. It's the Super Bowl. We have things, but then somebody else decided to pipe up.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Miles Garrett is not happy in Cleveland. He has demanded a trade, and we will get to that next here in hour number three on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.